Arakonda Sivrahadila Kandra Sivadak Salibrunda Savradila Bondre Kidos. We hail you. We worship you. We hail you, Most High. We hail you. We worship you. We hail you, Most High. We hail you. We hail you. Procession. The quality of your encounter is dependent on the quality of your procession. You see, the light of God is in the Holy of Holies. You must journey there to see the Shekinah. If you're in the outer court, you will see the sun. If you're in the inner court, you will see the menorah. But if you enter the Holy of Holies, you will see the Shekinah. So if a man's procession is not, if it doesn't have enough quality, he will not see the Most High. There is a level you will journey to, you will see a man. That's why you hear a message. You think you know the scripture. You are hearing the voice of a man. Somebody else is hearing the oracles of God, saying the same thing but having different encounters. God spoke. They said it was the voice of thunder. Others said it was the voice of an angel. But Jesus said that was the Father speaking. He said now is the judgment of this world. So if you want to heighten the quality of your encounter, improve on the quality of your procession. Some people don't know how to appear before a king. When you pocket your hand before a king, you will see his servant. But when you prostrate before a king, he will show you his majesty. This is why we do what we do. They are not religious activities. They are the procession that provoke the appearing of the oracles of God. We worship you. We hail you. We hail you, we hail you.
We hail you. We worship you. We hail you, Hosanna.
We hail you, we hail you.
We hail you.
We
give you worship.
We worship.
We bow before you.
We hail you. of the things I try to major in is to understand spiritual things. You know, I told you yesterday, a dwarf is not a short man. A dwarf is a man who cannot see above the sun. His philosophy is the philosophy of men. His wisdom is the wisdom of men. A man of height in the spirit is a man who can see beyond the sun. It's like the cedars of Lebanon. He peers into the spirit. You know how poor people worship. When I say poor, I'm not saying financial bankruptcy. When I say poor, I mean spiritual depravity. Worship, poor people worship by interacting with the melody of the songs. So any song they don't know or any song they don't enjoy, work it down. So they are emotional beings. But rich people, they don't even listen so much to the melody. They hear the lyrics. It reminds them of their encounters with God. So the song may not be appealing, but their worship is a quality of their encounter. So when you say God is big, it may not be melodious, but they remember when he appeared. And they remember the mountains that he took from their path. So the song may not be sweet, but they are rolling everywhere. They are interacting with their encounters, not with the melody. I told you yesterday, God is holy. And the word holy means he's in his own class. Don't bring him to your realm, you will lose him. Go to his realm. Aka kaya. Aka Jehovah name ma. Oru ebobe ya. Emoni wari de maino.
Isi kendu. Kena.
Yesterday, we began to contemplate the subject, the theme of the conference. God's servant is a great teacher, and I know he's done a lot to that effect already. He's also a man of the presence, so I know you've been drinking and drinking already. But you see, in the spirit, when God walks on his people, they become like crystals. That's why the Bible calls us lively stones. You know, God does not build with blocks. He builds with stones. When you build with a block, blocks are hollow. The stamina of a block, it can withstand the crisis of life. But when you build with a stone, stones are not the same. They are shaped according to the dimension that they see. Block is cloning, but stones are products of encounters. So every stone takes the shape of the God that it sees. So when you look at a stone, stones are reflective of different dimensions of God. So God built with stones. So no two ministers is the same. The reason is because we are crystals. And when crystals are brought before the light of God, there are two things crystals do. They refract and they reflect light. Refraction is when light enters a crystal and the crystal bends the light. So when you see a diamond stone, at night, the diamond may be in the dark, but the diamond has the power to absorb and to refract every ray of light that passes. So you see light, diamond shining. There is no light in the diamond, but it's refracting. So it can receive the light, bend it in this direction, bend it in this direction. So God's servant can be talking about the love of God, but he's refracting God in this direction. And you will be blessed. When another stone comes to talk about the love of God, he will refract it in this direction. You will still be blessed. So the reason God has many servants is because all of us refract God at different angles. It is when all of our witness is complete that you will see the full light of God. It's like a prism. White light passes through a prism. There's a portion of the prism that reveals green. If you look at green alone, you will think light is green. But the light is not green, it's white. Another portion of the crystal will reveal red. Another one will reveal indigo. Another one will reveal violet. That's what you see, the rainbow. Is the light from the sun passing through it. But different aspects of the water refracts the light and you see different colors. It is those seven colors merged together that is white light. So we can take the same topic for 1 year. You'll be hearing different things. The reason is because we are refracting God at different angles. So even though a pastor has done a thorough job, which myself will learn from, I want to bring you another witness so that the spectrum of light can be complete. And that's when you will be built. That's why he said to some he gave to be apostles. To some he gave to be prophets. To some he gave to be evangelists. To some he gave to be pastors and teachers. It is when that witness is complete that the saints are equipped for the work of the ministry. So this morning, I want to do a teaching on the subject of being sold out. And you see, last night I began by telling us there are three blocks in dealing with the subject. When you see a man who is sold out, there are three witnesses that his life conveys. The first is that he's a separated man. The second is that he's a surrendered man. And the third is that he's a sanctified man. A man who is not separated will not be sold out for God and to God. He will be a custodian of the will and the interest of many spirits. So the empowerment of that man will not reflect God's purpose. It will reflect the purpose of many other spirits. So much so that God will be obscured the civilization that he will build. You know, when Jesus was about to be empowered in Matthew chapter 4, the devil had problem with the empowerment of Jesus, but the devil wanted to add his own. So when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, what Jesus would have been building would have been God and other spirits. So Jesus had to be separated from everything the devil offered to be able to bring a witness that is pure and a witness that was approved in heaven. Remember, the work of Jesus was not vetted on earth. It was vetted in Zion. That's why in Hebrews 9:14, he said, "Him through the eternal spirit entered the tabernacle of heaven once and for all to procure for us eternal salvation." So it was in heaven his work was vetted. If he was not separated, that work would not have been approved of the Father. So a man who is not separated can be powerful, can be rich, but he will build a system that will not only be God. So when you enter into that system, you will touch things that are not God. That's why God is careful to ensure that men are separated before he can use them to build his government. The second thing is that a man must be surrendered. If a man is not surrendered, he will never attain to his fullest potentials in God. So the goal of surrender is to get you to maximize your potentials in God, so that everything Jesus died for you to be, you will manifest before you leave this realm. Without absolute surrender, maximizing potential will be impossible. So God insists on total surrender. And the third is sanctification. Without sanctification, a man cannot function by the strength of God. The strength of God is what builds the systems of God. You can't build a divine system with human abilities. It is the ability of God working in a man that builds the government of God. So God is able to do through a man who is separated and surrendered, because upon that man is the government of God. So sanctification is to enable you function by the grace, the ability of God in its purest form. This is why you are not sold out until you are separated, until you are surrendered, and until you are sanctified. As a way of introduction this morning, let me begin by telling us what the earth is for. Why was the earth created? Because, like I said yesterday, if you don't know why the earth was created, you will roam around the earth and you will think you came here to be satisfied. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, when the 24 elders were worshipping God, you know, the heavenly realms are in different cadres. You can be in heaven and still be limited in knowledge, because breaking news is at different realms. If you study Revelation chapter 5, when John was in heaven, John was weeping. The reason John was weeping was because John was not in tune with the breaking news of heaven. And John's frustration in heaven was a product of what he heard a strong angel saying. So even the strong angel was limited. The Bible said, he heard a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is able to open the books and to loose the seals thereon?" He said, "No man was found worthy." He didn't know that a man has already been found, because the man that was found before the foundation of the world. His name is Jesus. But you see, the angel was in heaven. He was a strong angel, but he was not aware. Somebody may be crying and saying he's frustrated. The reason is because you are not in sync with breaking news. You may be crying, talking about your frustration, your poverty, your pains, your sickness. If you were able to go higher, you will see that that thing has been taken care of. So John was in heaven crying, until he said, one of the elders came to him, say, weep not. He said, behold, I see from a higher scale. This angel is a strong angel, but he can't see from where I see. Now I give you permission to see from where I see. He now said, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he had prevailed. He's not prevailing. He has already prevailed. But the problem is, where you are operating from, you can't see it. Now, my point is this. One of these elders that have the greatest wisdom, the greatest access in heaven, they were the ones telling us why God created all things. Because you have to go deep in wisdom to understand the meaning and the essence of things. If you receive money, for example, you may not know what it's meant for. So God bless you with 10 million. You now say, oh boy, I don't hammer. That car you were longing for 3 years ago, you will now run and buy it for 8 million. The reason is because you have not gone higher. If you go higher, you will discover the purpose for the 10 million car was not inside. So you go deeper to access essence and meaning. And the greatest custodians of essence and meaning, apart from the Holy Ghost, are the 24 elders. And they began to talk to us by their wisdom. They said, all things were created for thy pleasure. So the earth and the inhabitants of the earth were not created for themselves. So it will teach you that you are not here for yourself. You are here to give pleasure to God. Now the question is, how will you give pleasure to God? In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 26 to 28, it says, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. And he said what? God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So the reason God put man here was to have dominion. But what is the dominion God is talking about? Is it just for the man to be big and strong? No. The dominion God spoke about is for the man to extend his invincible government into the visible realm. So the reason man is walking the face of the earth is to establish the government and the rulership of God on the face of the earth. So everything God gives you is a tool for establishing what? The government and the rulership of God on the face of the earth. What is the government of God? The government of God is the will of God expressed by his wisdom through his power. The will of God expressed by his wisdom through his power. So you know what God wants, and then you articulate God's wisdom to bring it to pass. Because God is not only interested in winning, there is a how by which God wants to win. If you do what God wants to do and you don't do it how God wants it, you can be disqualified. So God wanted sacrifices on the high places, but he wanted the prophet Samuel to do it. But Saul came and said the people were troubling him. So he went and carried out the same sacrifice, the way it should be carried out, but not by what or the how that God wanted. God wanted Samuel to do it. And Samuel said, if you had waited, your kingdom would have been established forever. So, it's not just about the will of God. It's about the wisdom of God for enacting the will of God. And then, in enacting the will of God by the wisdom of God, you need the power and the ability of God to do it. As I am preaching now, if my preaching is predicated on oratory, you can't be blessed. Because my oratory will fascinate you, but the mountains of your life will remain there. Because it's the ability of God that will remove the mountain. So I can come here and talk to you about healing intelligently. You will go back with your sickness. But if I have the ability of God, you will not only know about healing, your sicknesses will be removed. That's why the government of God should be established by the ability of God. So when a man articulates the will of God and then begins to express it by the wisdom of God through the energy of God. That man is exercising and bringing the government of God to the earth. That is the only man that pleases God. That's the only man that brings pleasure to God. That's the only man that understands why he's walking on the face of the earth. If you don't know this, everything you have is a waste. This is why we don't just come declaring breakthrough over people. Because some people receive breakthrough and they build the clubs where the young girls in this city go to dance. And many of them are disflowered. And many of the young ladies that were disflowered were supposed to be the Deborahs of this city. So because one man is blessed, he dethroned 30 Deborahs. So before we begin to declare the breakthrough, we must know why. So when you check your life part time, the question you should ask yourself is, what is the will of God that is finding expression on earth today because I'm on earth? Because if you can't find one, it means you are not on earth. You're already in Hades. He said they that liveth for pleasure are dead, even while they are walking. So the man can be walking on earth, but in the realm of God, he's not on earth. He's already a dead man. That's why I said there's a way spirits define things. For example, God said men ought always to pray. So if you are a man from the realm of God, you are not a man because you have nose and two eyes and two ears. From the realm of God, you are a man if you are praying. If you are not praying, then maybe you are an amoeba. Because God's definition are not biological, they are spiritual. So if a man cannot bring a divine agenda to the face of the earth, everything he has is a waste. So when you look at what I've just said, it means what is in the mind of every spirit is to establish a civilization. A civilization that will incorporate a people so that those people become the citizens of those spirits. That's the mind of God. That was why God created the earth. So that his spirit can rule over the earth. So that his will find expression. And everybody on the face of the earth will become his agent. But unfortunately, God is not the only spirit making claim over this realm. There are other spirits making claims over this realm. If God were the only ruler of this realm would have been a Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem means the city of peace. And the king of... I will digress. I won't go there. But because God is not the only ruler here, this place can't be an Eden. There are other spirits. But the thing with the spirit is that he doesn't consider a city to be a geographical location. He considers a city to be the civilization that rules there. So if you find the city of Jos, it may be bigger than the landscape. The city of Jos is the civilization ruling this realm. And everybody that is walking in the city of Jos, you may not be in Jos, but you may be in the city of Jos in the spirit. That's why they left the physical Egypt, but he said they carried Egypt in their heart. Because Egypt is not just a physical location. Egypt is a spiritual civilization. So if you study Isaiah, chapter 19 from verse 3, you know I'm building this foundation so you will understand why separation is very important. And then you know what separation means. Separation is not you staying in your room and not going out. No. Separation is actually detachment from the prevailing forces of a territory. So that you are not an agent of that civilization. That's what separation is. But if you don't see it, you will not get it. He said, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof. And I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek idols and to charmers and to them that have familiar spirit and wizards. These are the things that happen in Egypt. So everybody who worships idols. Everybody who seeks after charmers and enchanters and wizards.
He may be in Congo, but he's in Egypt.
So the civilization of Egypt is beyond the territory. The civilization of Egypt is a government that make people turn away from God to seek other spirits to give them the things God gives. Remember, God is not the only one that makes men rich. But God makes men rich and adds no sorrow to it. There are other spirits also that make men rich. But when those spirits make men rich, they add sorrow. So if you pursue riches, there are many spirits that can make you rich. That's why when church becomes about breakthrough, we are in trouble. Because the people will be rich, but they will be rich by the dictate of spirits other than God. And when you go and check their lives, God will not be king there. So the civilization of Egypt was an orchestration of another God. And in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, we discover that this civilization has a God that powers it. So anybody that is empowered by Egypt, his God is not Jehovah. Exodus 12, verse 12. He said, tonight I will pass through Egypt and I will judge the gods of Egypt. So if you are a millionaire in Egypt, if you are a pastor in Egypt, if you are a businessman in Egypt, what moves God is not your wealth. What moves God is whether he is your God or it is Egypt's God that is your God. So you can be in church and you are sponsoring everything happening in church. You are not sold out by your action. You are sold out by who you are and where you are standing. That's why I told you who you are and where you are standing is more important than what you are doing. I can preach like this, fireful, yet be a fornicator. So my preaching is not as important as who I am. If I am a fornicator, I am imparting the spirit of seduction, but I am quoting scriptures. So God is not moved that I'm a preacher. God is moved that I'm a righteous man. Because if I'm a righteous man, anything I do will bring his government. But if I am not a righteous man, even if I'm doing the most spiritual things, I am spreading the influence of the spirit of seduction. Who we are and where we are standing is the first testimony of who our God is. Our God is not who we claim he is to us until who we are and where we stand is in alignment with our God. If we don't stand with our God, and if we are not of our God, even if we proclaim it, it's a lie. Because in the spirit realm, it is a testimony that is known. That's why the Pharisees, they were passionate about God. They will kill you if you talk against God. But when Jesus came, by this x-ray, he said, you are of your father, the devil. John chapter 8, verse 44. And he said, the lust of your father shall ye do. He said, they shall come to him on the last day and say, Lord, Lord, we wrought signs and wonders in your name. He said, away from me, you that walk iniquity. Your actions were spiritual, but you are of your father, the devil. So everything you were doing was a product of the lust of your father. So it is not about the action, it's about the being. Who art thou and where standest thou? That's what separation is about. You know, I can be singing a worship song. People are falling under the power. But if you check my heart, you will run. People are falling under the power while I'm singing. But in my heart, if you check what is there, I may be telling myself, this one way power they move today. If these people don't give me 200,000, it go be wahala. We go kill ourselves. So what I'm doing is sponsored by Honorarium. You see, these kinds of things are no longer taught in church. That's why we are moved by results. Spirits
are not moved by results. I told you yesterday, Noah was walking by word of knowledge for 100 years. When he came to heaven, they didn't call his gift. What God was seeing was the fear of the Lord that was in his heart. In 2 Corinthians 7, 6, verse 14 and 18, began to tell us clearly, just in case we are not aware, how God expects to see us. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What he talks about unequal yoking in the East, like what they do, they practice in the agricultural system of the old days. So when you carry a bull, a yoke is, you know this stuff that tractors have for farming. So when you put it on an animal, it's called a yoke. So when you carry a bull to farm, you put that yoke on a bull and on another bull. If you put one on a bull and you put another one on a goat, the whole weight will be on the goat. So they can't farm. They don't make progress. So he's saying, if a believer is in friendship with the world, with the unbeliever, he says it's like a yoking between a horse and a goat. The horse should run faster. The goat will pull it back. The horse has more strength than the goat. So there is no way two of them can agree. That's the picture God has. And that is why God can never do anything with us until we are separated. So if our alignment with the world is not detached, the service of God cannot rest on our shoulders. The government of God cannot rest on our shoulders. When you are yoked with the world, you can't keep pace with the Holy Spirit. So what God wants to have, do, is not the devil that will be the limitation. You will be the limitation. Because you are yoked with a system that is of the world. So when God is saying fast, that's the evening they are saying there's a birthday party. Meanwhile, this your fasting is needed now. Because tomorrow God wants to raise the dead. And he needs you to generate energy. But because you can't see beyond the stars, you say, Kai, let me just go for this birthday quick and come back. And because you continue like that, you program your life away from the God operation. So it becomes difficult for God to use you. So over time, even if you are crying that God use me, you are yoked. This is why the agenda of God is limited. And this is why I began by telling us that it is about the government of God or the government of the devil. If you find the will of a spirit and you use the wisdom of that spirit and the ability of that spirit, you are walking in dominion. Because everything you do, we express that spirit in a very graphic sense. That spirit may not be seen, but through what you have built, the spirit will live among men. The word agreement is light God with darkness. How do you compare it? It means something is wrong. Bring the scriptures back. Don't worry about me. He said, what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion had light with darkness? This is God. Hope you know God is omniscient. But even the omniscient God is lost for knowledge. He's trying to find out how can light and darkness agree. When I created light and darkness, there was no agreement in the studio of eternity. How come on earth you have become so creative to create a communion between light and dark? I created light and darkness, and in my superior wisdom, I didn't find anywhere where they resonate. How come you become wiser than God? God himself is asking. He said, what? How? How is it possible? You know? You say God knows everything. This is God asking you. Say, what is that agreement? So your life has become a mystery in the spirit realm. The guy wakes up from the bed of fornication. Then he comes to church and moves in power. The angels are like this. How were you able to cause light and darkness to cohabit? The the same mouth that he used to say to curse and to say all kinds of evil, he now goes in and clean his face, tie it up, and come and say, Jesus loves you. If you knew the love of God, then he even polishes English. The mercy of God is here. Then the angels are like, and then as he's saying it, somebody calls her on the phone. You the grace, you the mad. No, try me. You know, Jesus is Lord. I call you to the fellowship of the divine. What communion has light got with darkness? So in John 15:19, say you are not of the world. In case you are not aware, let me tell you in clear terms. You are not of the world. You are not of the world. He said that is why the world naturally should hate you. But if the world loves you, there is a problem. It means you are those who have created communion between light and darkness. Even if I go to a club now, I don't have a seat there anymore. They know. If I go to a beer parlor now, even those drinking, we know. When we're coming on the roads, the military guys, they stop us. Are you a pastor? I say yes. I entered the airport where to take off our shoes. They were screening, and the officer there looked at me. Man of God. I say yes. He said, please. He carried my things and kept it and sat with me. He said, please pray for me. Pray for me. The world have discernment enough to know light. You are obscured because you have communion between light and darkness. And I'm telling you, the danger of this is that God can't use you. And what then is the essence of your life or the meaning of your existence if God can't use you? Meanwhile, the reason God brought you here is because he wanted you to have dominion. But this God can't use you. So you are just floating. And then you say, oh, well, we enjoy life. We enjoy life. Which life? So 2 Corinthians again, 6 verse 17. Say, come out from among them. He first of all told you are not of them. But in case you don't know, he said now, come out from among them. Miles Monroe told the story. He said he went to Zimbabwe to minister the city of Harare. And the king told him a story. He said, once upon a time, there was a shepherd. He went to the side of the mountain to graze with his sheep. And then he saw a cub, a young lion. He was afraid because he felt the lioness was around. But after a while, he realized the lioness was not there. So he carried the cub, took the cub home, contemplating on what to do. Because he doesn't even have, before this thing begins to kill all my sheep. But after a while, he realized the cub began to eat grass. Meanwhile, lions don't eat grass. But you see, the problem is that association, the power of association has imparted on the cub. So the cub began to eat grass. Until the cub became a giant lion, still eating grass. That's what has happened to a lot of believers. A prophet, a mighty prophet is on marijuana. And when he takes it, he says, God, he's having inspiration. Something like this. He doesn't know. He has access to the spirit realm because he's a prophet. Meanwhile, he was supposed to access that realm by the Holy Ghost. But now he's accessing it by marijuana. And then he's walking with touts and hoodlums. And he thinks he's one of them. The same way the lion thinks he's one of the sheep. And every time he goes out, all he hears is that you must succeed. Man must work. A prophet. He's living in fornication. He came to church from January to December. His heart is not troubled. And then he said, last month I got a car. And all his testimonies are earthly. He will never tap into the frequency of a prophet. Meanwhile, his blessing is not the car. His blessing is the measure of the spirit he carries to fulfill his ordination. But that thing is dying. And he doesn't know. He thinks it's the cars. If he becomes a prophet, he won't buy that car. They will give him. he will now realize the car is a byproduct. But he will never know. A lion became a sheep by association. Say one day they went to drink the stream. And when this lion looked at the water, saw a reflection of itself, and he ran. Because all the while, the lion saw itself as a sheep. How can you, with your fur, the whole fur, the hair and the beard, how can you resemble a sheep? Because the problem is that sometimes you see yourself through others. That's why you must stay in God's presence, so that you see yourself through God. If you start seeing yourself through God, you will know you are not what men think you are. When the lion saw, it ran. And they left. After another time, they came to the backside of the mountain. And suddenly, a lion came out of the jungle. And both the sheep, the shepherd, and the lion that have become a sheep, ran. So a lion running from a lion. Have you gone somewhere for evangelism before? And you begin to talk to somebody about sin, telling me, I don't want to hear. He's running because he knows that thing you are saying is attacking his essence. That thing you are telling him is provoking the waters of his ordination. So he don't want to hear. Leave me alone. Keep talking. Keep talking. Keep talking. After a while, he won't be able to deny himself. While they were running, this lion that came from the bush roared. This guy stopped. He looks as if that language. I have not been able to speak it, but I know that language. Are you there before? Some of us were in the world. So sometimes when I hear something, I hear it in my heart, not in my head. When somebody begins to talk about eternity, you don't know the scripture, but you know this is truth. And it begins to pull you. The lion roared again. And these guys turned back. His identity was being summoned. And when that lion roared for the third time, the lion that had become a sheep for the first time shook itself and roared. And the whole jungle shook. From that day, it ceased to be a sheep. He entered into its ordination as a lion. That's separation. Some of you see people preaching. See this young guy doing this thing. Say, I can do what this guy is doing. I know. In fact, some of you who sit and listen to us, more stature than us in the spirit. The only problem is that you have not yet separated. Noah. So he said, come out from among them and be ye separate. He said, they that bear the vessels of God, they must be holy. So if you are not, that's why I told you yesterday, the first credential for handling an eternal thing is that you must be separated. Leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house to the land I will show you, and then in blessing, I will bless you. You want to find the true essence of your being, which is the foundation of your original blessing, be separated. The question is how? There are not too many ways of being separate. Remember, I told you it's a nature thing. It's a nature. A nature-based reality. So it's not something you can just wake up and say, now I'm separate. No. It's a how. And the only way to become separated is to embrace the verdict of the cross. It is the cross that has the power to journey into your being and to re-engineer your essence. It is the cross that has the power to shift you from death to life. The cross is the great divide that separates light and darkness. The cross is the great divide that separates life and death. That is why a message devoid of the cross is not the gospel. If the cross does not appear, we will be able to mingle light and darkness. The only way separation can be achieved is when the message of the cross is embraced. In Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So the guy was walking on the earth, but he was walking by the ability of God, by the life of God, by the energy of God. So he said, I'm alive, but I'm not living by oxygen. I'm now living by Christ. So living by Christ is by the cross. That's why he said, I am crucified with Christ. When I'm crucified with Christ, what is Christ becomes mine. It's a substitutionary initiative in the spirit. That's why he said, he made him who was without sin to become sin for us. So on the cross, a substitution took place. That's where you receive of Christ. In Galatians 6:14, he said, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. So I can't relate to the world anymore. What it means is that I have died to the world. No matter how your brother loves you, if he dies to you now, nothing you do moves him. Even when you carry him to bury him, he won't say, ah, is it me you are doing this thing to? Are you putting me in the ground? He can't relate with you. He has died. So when there is seduction, when there is tendencies and proclivities of iniquity, it means the cross have not worked. We don't live by discipline. We need discipline in so many areas of our life, but we live by the life, the verdict of holiness, which the cross imparts into our spirit. So if you are still trying to avoid ladies by discipline, you don't know the cross yet. That's human energy. That is good. It's a good place to start from. But what the cross does is that you see every lady as your sister. You are not trying to avoid them. When you are with your sister, do you try to hold yourself? You are not trying to be disciplined not to take the money. You know the money is not yours. You don't have appetite for it. You are not trying to be disciplined not to lie. See, Christianity is a rugged thing. There is no modesty or moderation in Christianity. It's an extreme reality. The standard of God is intense. You can be doing discipline and think God is pleased. God is not moved. Because what God came to give is life. Do you eat by discipline? If you start eating food by discipline, it means you are sick. They say, eat now. You need to eat. You are sick. When you are healthy, hunger will make you eat. Because hunger is an attendant reminder that food is needed in the body. That's what the cross does. The cross severs you from the world. So you are not trying to avoid the world. Even if you are in the midst, the world can't touch you. So you can. I shared with you yesterday how they stop inviting pastors during winter. Because they come and suddenly everybody is on bomb shot and bra. The cross have not worked. If the cross have worked, you can go to a brother and win harlots. Meanwhile, somebody else is saying, it's temptation. That person is functioning by the economy of discipline. That's human energy. When the cross works on you, if you see the lady half naked, you'll be moved with compassion. Because you will see a dying soul. The revivalists of old, where they did their meetings, were strange. An evangelist was invited for a crusade. And they lodged him in a hotel. They discovered harlots were there. No, he was going for the meeting. So where he lodged was a hotel of harlots. And then he didn't come for the meeting. It was a 1 week meeting. He didn't show up. Imagine now you invited me. I now came to Jos and I didn't show up. You know, our generation, we like activity. So Some people who even watch you, when you come and you are not talking like they know on TV. They don't care what the Holy Ghost wants to do. They want to entice themselves. Imagine if you invited me and I came to church and I didn't show up. So the evangelist didn't come. When he came to the hotel, he saw her lot. But why am I going to go preach to Christians when I'm seeing dead men here? And then where I'm going to, there's already a pastor there. If I don't come, the pastor will preach to them. There's no pastor here. Meanwhile, in our generation, you invite an apostle or a prophet from your own congregation. We collect somebody's phone number. Before he leaves that meeting, we sleep with her. No exaggerating. I have first-hand real-time details. The man who came to preach gives word of knowledge to somebody and say the person needs mentoring and collects the person's phone number and sleep with the person. Meanwhile, here is a generation that knows the cross. A man is in the midst of harlots and his heart is burning. And after 3 days, on the third day when he came for the crusade, he came with more than 30 harlots. They had become evangelists. That's what happened to Rahab. The spies went to Jericho and they lodged with a harlot. Today, if you see a man of God around the hotel, standing with a lady, God servant. The reason is because even we know that the cross is not in our generation. We have intelligent messages, but the cross is not there. It's easy to preach to believers. Try to preach to the harlots that stand on the street. That's when you will know you don't know the gospel. Because the gospel is not English. It's the power of God unto salvation. So when you want to know whether you know the gospel, try the harlot that is waiting, who has 5 minutes for you. You think you have power for salvation? Talk to her for 5 minutes. If you can get her attention, you will go back and tell God, help me. That's when you will know that you have been functioning by oratorial power. Because your word can pierce the soul. But when Peter spake, he said they were pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? That's the gospel. But you can get there when you know the cross. The cross is the instrument of death. That's what kills you so that God can manifest through you. So you want to ask, how is separation achieved? Separation is achieved by the cross. The next question is, how do I apply the cross? Because if you say cross, how do I apply it? 2 ways quickly. You know, teaching is designed to build you. How do I apply the cross? The first way to apply the cross is by understanding the implication of the death of Jesus. Because the cross is not a wood. The cross is Jesus' substitutionary death that qualifies you to come back into relationship with God. So if you don't understand the import of that debt, the cross will mean nothing to you. That's why there are 3 foundations that salvation rests on. Salvation rests on the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of sanctification, and the doctrine of glorification. The doctrine of justification rests upon the cross, the blood, and the resurrection. So if you don't understand what the death of Jesus means, you don't know the cross. The moment you understand it, the power of the cross is activated. So the power to separate is released when a man understands what the death of Christ means. Israel did religion for 1,500 years. God didn't move. None of them was saved. None of them could access God. But in the cross, the moment you say Jesus is Lord, The moment you say that, what Israel could not achieve for 1,500 years, you achieve by a sentence, if you believe it. That means the work of the cross is superior to a labor of 1,500 years. Israel had to build a tabernacle that had three layers. The first layer is the altar of sacrifice. So you must bring your goat, your bulls to be sacrificed as burnt offering. Then they sprinkle the blood of the bull on you to cleanse you, to cover you after all, so that God won't kill you. And then the priest, a selected few people, can go into the holy place where the shewbread is, the menorah is. Then only the high priest goes into the Shekinah, not to have it, but to see it once in a year. But on the strength of the cross, the veil was divided. So not only the high priest goes there now, everybody can go there. So the whole church is not in the outer court. The whole church is in the Holy of Holies. And the Shekinah doesn't visit. The Shekinah now rests on your inside. So God doesn't come and go. God now dwells with you. Now what Israel could not achieve by building a tent, by laboring to appease God for 1 year, you now have it waking up from bed. So the labor of a tent, the labor of worship, the labor of sacrifice, all of them was achieved once because of the cross. So when you look at the cross, you are looking at 1,500 years of labor. When you look at the cross, you are looking at the tabernacle, journeying from the outer court to the inner court to the Holy of Holies. When you look at the cross, you are seeing the Shekinah not appearing but dwelling on your inside. The moment this truth, as simple as it is, dawns on you, you wake up every day knowing that God is not somewhere you are going to seek. God is presently dwelling in your spirit. Now, if God is dwelling in your spirit, that time you are in your bathroom, God is there. Do you know the reason why we are not separate? Most times we do things in hiding. In Isaiah 29 verse 15, it talks about a group of foolish people. He said they take counsel in the deep and do things in the hiding, thinking they are alone. Somebody tells you, it's hard, the temptation is hard. The question is, this money that you cannot but steal, why are you not stealing it in the public? If you are able to tame yourself when you are in the public, why can't you tame yourself when you are in the secret? The reason is because you thought in the secret nobody is seeing you. The people who say it's hard, you can't live without fornication. Do you fornicate in the market? Do you fornicate in the church? Do you fornicate in school? If you can behave yourself because you are aware that everybody is seeing you, the reason you can't behave yourself when you are alone is because you think you are alone. So what the cross does to you is that it brings you a witness that now you are in God and God is in you. So even when you are alone, you know that the whole entourage of heaven is there. So the same consciousness you sustain when you are in church in the gathering, that's the same consciousness you sustain when you are alone. The reason is because the cross has brought God to dwell on your inside. So the first way the cross is applied is by understanding the implication of the death of Jesus. Many don't understand it. They think Jesus died for them and their sins are forgiven. They think that is it. If you know that because of the cross, you are no longer coming into the presence of God, you now live in the presence of God. You will become very careful how you think, how you act. Do you know why you tell people, come to the altar? They think they are coming to God's presence. So people stand on the altar, they stand like this. Because they think they are in the presence of God when they came up here. If you become aware that you live
in the presence of God, the same way you function here, you will function everywhere. So the same way you don't struggle here, that's how you won't struggle any other way. But the problem is that you were only taught that God is in church. You didn't know the cross. If you knew the cross, you will know that God is not only in church, you will know that God is in you. So the same way you are in church, that's how you are everywhere. This is why people come to church, they are well comported. But when you meet them on campus, when you meet them in the market, they are different people. Because they think God only dwells in church. They don't know the cross. When you know the cross, you will know God dwells in you. You will know God is with you everywhere you go. And God is not just only with you. God is in you. So if God is in you, your thought will become loud. Every time evil thought comes, you shut it down because it will be loud. The reason is because you are not thinking alone. You are thinking with somebody in you. This is why the understanding of the cross helps to sever a man. And it's not just that you are aware. The second thing it does to you is that understanding releases the power of God. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible said something. It said, because we know that one died for us, we therefore judge. This is Paul speaking. Because you have come into that awareness, he said you will now judge. 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said that we will no longer live unto ourselves, but we live for him that died for us. So that understanding makes you become spiritually reasonable. So the reason you are not spiritually reasonable is because you have not understood what the cross means. He said the moment you know, spiritual things are not natural things. The Bible said, thou shalt know the truth. The truth shall make you free. He didn't say the truth shall make you knowledgeable. So the proof that you have known something is that you become free from an area of bondage. Knowledge is not about how much is gained. Knowledge is about how much liberty is enjoyed. So Paul said, because we now understand that he died for us, that's the cross. He said, we no longer live for ourselves. We now live for him that died for us. So if somebody is not living for Christ, he doesn't know the cross. So the issue of separation is an issue of ignorance of the cross. If a man is struggling with separation, his goal is not resolutions. People come to make resolutions every January. I will not do this again. I will not do this again. Before 12 o'clock that day, you will do it. Because the issue of separation is not resolution. The issue of separation is an understanding. An understanding that your life is no longer your own. Because on the cross, your life was bought. It's where separation begins. When this is achieved, then the second dimension of separation is for you to walk away from the world. So he said to young men, he said, flee youthful lust that war against your soul. So when the cross severs you, that's when you now move. Because you won't remain there after you have been severed. That's why he said in James chapter 4 verse 4, he said, you are adulterous generation. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Now that the cross have separated you, it's now your choice either to move or to remain. Because friendship is a choice. You are no longer in bondage to remain because the power have been severed. Now that the power have been severed, he said, exert your will and step away. So the second protocol of separation is your willful departure from the world. That's where many people refuse to. You know that this friendship is dragging me to sin. And then you are praying to God every day, forgive me, forgive me. And you are keeping the friendship. You are a hypocrite. Because the prayer
is not forgive me. The prayer is, thank you very much. I appreciate your friendship, but as it is now, I have a new project. But you cannot move like that because you have not accepted the verdict of the cross. So first, the cross is a revelation. Secondly, it's a verdict. And the verdict of the cross is that everything that competes with God must give way. If you keep that which competes with God, you are not ready to go anywhere. You have not accepted separation. You are a hypocrite. There are many people that are so weak that even their phones, handset, the reason why God will never use them. And they keep it for 20 years until they become 40. And they now said, I gave my heart to Christ in 1989. Thinking that time is a record in the spirit. It's only on earth that time is a record. In the spirit, time does not have regard. They don't have regard for time in the spirit. It's a realm of reality. The second protocol of separation is a departure from the world. And when that is achieved, then the second operation of being sold out is activated, which is surrender. Because when you depart from the world, you stand face to face with God. So surrender is not letting go of things. Letting go of things is separation. Surrender is yielding to God. Surrender is submitting to the government of God. God reached out to you and separate you from the world. You now come to God and submit yourself to Him. That's what surrender entails. You see, there are many things that are not sins, but they are besetting you. They are weights. In surrender, you turn away to God. There are many believers who are not yielded to God. They are not walking in sin, but they are not yielded to God. So you ask them, are you lying? No. Are you fornicating? No. Do you do this? No. But when God summons, they will never be there. The reason is because they have not entered surrender. And surrendering to God is so radical. Because when you surrender to God, He makes demand of your all. You know, your job makes demands of like 8 hours of your time in a day. Your family makes demand of some of your time in a day. But God makes demand for all. That's why surrender is very radical. I'm showing you life in the spirit. As you live here, you will see these things playing out every day of your life. The reason you may never be great is something, it's things like this. First, you are holding on to the world. Say, let go of it. When you let go of it, you now say, hold on to Him. So you can let go of the world, but you are not holding Him. You are still not doing anything. After a while, if you don't hold Him, you will go back to the world. When you want to surrender to God, you will notice that things that are not of the world, things that are not seen, things that are not of the devil, will now stand in the way. So you have to jump through those hurdles in your pursuit for God. You will leap over the mountains to seek God's face. That's what surrender is. It's a pursuit after God. And when you begin to pursue after God, you will find many legitimate hurdles. You will jump over them. Legitimate. Because they are not wrong. They are not evil. But they will compete with God. And God is so radical that He will tell you to leave them. Let me show you some of them. So you will know the price of apprehending God. And you cannot pay these prices until you realize that You are in this world for what? Dominion. And dominion is the ability to articulate the will of God, to express it by his wisdom through his power. You will find hurdles like pleasure. So you wake up in the morning, you'll discover that you love to sleep in the early hours of the morning. Now, it's not a sin to sleep in the morning. I enjoy sleep in the early hours of the morning. When it's around 4 or 5 a.m., that's when I start sleeping. Because naturally, I go to bed very late. You will never catch me asleep by 1 a.m. My most active part of the day is between 9 to 1 a.m. Between 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's my most active part of the day. Because I have that time all to myself every day. Even if I go for a meeting, I finish before 9. You will never catch me sleeping before 1 a.m. So because of that, when it's 4 a.m., 5 a.m., I enjoy. That's when I roll on the bed. But you see, the problem is that God says, if you want to seek me, find me in the morning. It's not a doctrine, that's me. So most times when it's 5 a.m., the Holy Ghost wakes me up. Kai. It looks, I become angry with myself. It's called pleasure. It's not a sin, but it's called pleasure. If you want to see God, you will jump over that hurdle. There are many people. This is why they call it price. A price to pay. Some of you, God tells you, read the scriptures back to back. But you are a busy person. So you come back from work around 4. You have to eat something or prepare food for your family. Ultimately, you are tired. Meanwhile, God says, read, read. And the Holy Ghost will prompt you as if it's a law. Then you carry the Bible, you sleep. And then sometimes you want to read the Bible. You now go and lie on the bed. You read the Bible. Say, for God so loved the world that he gave. The next time you say, his only begotten son, it's 30 minutes later. So in 2 weeks, you have read 2 verses. It's called pleasure. Surrender means jumping the hurdle of pleasure. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, and First Timothy chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible said some of the things that will dominate the last day is not sin alone, it's pleasure. So the reason many people will not rise in God is because they didn't overcome pleasure. Pleasure stood on their way like a mountain. God said, fast. Then you began your fast, were praying. Around 9 a.m., your friend now entered the hostel. And he came with a crispy chicken with fried rice. And then you were praying your thing, worshiping, until your nose. So the next 30 minutes of prayer, you are now fighting. You are fighting. You are fighting. You have not overcome pleasure. Your nose is the reason why you will never grow in the spirit. Then your friend is so generous that day, say, boy, this is sweet. This is sweet. You know, Gosho. You now every day you fast, you now tell yourself, but it's true. Is it every day I fast? So a school of the spirit that should take 2 months takes 2 years. And the guy never grows in God. So a man is sold out when he surrenders. You no longer live unto yourself. That's why I told you, surrender is what makes you maximize your potentials in God. There is a quick work God wants to do. So he needs you to become pliable. Sometimes the Holy Ghost puts a law on your soul. Don't sleep. And then you notice that in June, every time you wanted to sleep, it looked like a sin. But sleep is pleasure to you. It's so pleasurable that if you don't sleep, it's a burden. If you are surrendered, in the afternoon, you will get time to sleep. Because you know in the night, you have no right to sleep. That's how men grow. That's how men get to a point where they are sold out to the Lord. So you must deal with pleasure. Other people, their problem is time. The Lord is making demand for time, but they never have enough time. Meanwhile, the Bible tells us that one of the things demons eat is time. Demons don't only eat people. They don't only swallow up your future. They eat your time. That's why I said the years that the canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar worm have eaten. So there are spirits that eat time. So you wake up before you know it's 12. What's happening? Now say, okay, I will go to church by 4. Before you shower, it's 6 p.m. You say, okay, when I come back in the night, I will pray. Before you finish what you are doing, you carry your phone, you drop here, you talk to this person. Before you know, it's 11 p.m. You cannot surrender your time, so the devil eats it up. So you can't. That's why I told you, being sold out is not activity. When you come, you say, we are burning for God. We are the burning generation. If God wants to check, he will check what you do with your time. I know you may be a banker, but there are many bankers that pray 3 hours every day. I know you work in the oil company. There are many oil merchants that pray 2 hours every day. And if you go to heaven, you'll be shocked. Everything we are doing now, there were people that excelled in it, and they have become record keepers in the heavens. So when you come to the heaven, you will see a banker that worked with God and kept a routine of 4 hours every day in God's presence. So when you see that man, before God speaks, you will know you have no right to give an excuse that you are a banker. You will see a soldier that even in war was keeping watch with God for 2 hours every day. So when you come to heaven, you came with your arsenal. You wanted to tell God, the reason is because I'm a soldier. And you now see 4 soldiers that kept presence for 4 hours every day. God will not speak. The people you will meet will be your judgment. That's why I said, Moses will rise up on the last day and judge you. Because that excuse you want to give, somebody else went before you. If you were the first, you would have had the opportunity to give an excuse. But the problem is that you are not the first. Many people have passed through this path. You say the reason is because on campus, every time we are going for lectures from morning to evening, then you will see many people in the campus that made first class and were praying 4 hours every day. You now say, if not because of my academics, I want to see a first class person that prayed 4 hours every day. The presence of that person in heaven will not disqualify your argument. So you must surrender your time. Some people is their families. I told you this is not sin, but it's legitimate. You say it's because I have 3 children. I'm a nursing mother. I have to cater for 3 children. You will see somebody that has an orphanage with 19 children burning for God. Jesus' family came to him. They say, your mother and your brethren are here. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? Say, him that doeth the will of God. Most times it's our selfishness that makes our family becomes a hindrance. Am I saying throw away your family? No. But I'm saying even family is not a good enough reason to stop you from pursuing after God. Because Jesus was the one that taught us. He said, you are my family. Everybody doing the will of God is my family. That's what it means to be sold out. So it's not an emotional thing. Where you come to church, you are praying and crying, Lord, Lord, use me. After church, you say, oh, today now, Chelsea Arsenal. You are a man of pleasure. there's a place you will pursue God to, and you can't watch football again. Yes. Because in the inner court, you can't see the sun. So you won't know what's happening outside. Any light you see must be from the menorah. And in the Holy of Holies, you don't even have enough space to move. If you touch the ark, you will die. So when you enter, the first step you take it, you just stand there and wait for God. If you move another step, you will touch the ark, you will die. So in the Holy of Holies, you don't even have the luxury of turning left and right. It's only God. The reason you still have time to do other things is where you are. The outer court is large. It can accommodate everybody. In the Holy of Holies, you can't take two steps. When you enter, just stay there. The guy is crying in church, Wele, 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 Wele. Then as he leaves church, his eyes are dry. Watch Arsenal, Chelsea. Watch Real Madrid, Juventus. Say, oh boy, now it's Champions League. I'm an analyst. I need to know how this game will end. And because he's supporting Real Madrid, he must know that Juventus must go out. Because in the last 3 years, it's Juventus that is our problem. It's Juventus. So he's not only watching Real Madrid. He's now watching every Juventus match. You have time, mom. You have time. And you say you are sold out. You are a joker. Liverpool, Liverpool, Liverpool. He's telling everybody that Liverpool Bayern Munich match. Before he comes, he checks all their matches that they have played. Then when he comes, he's showing the record. 1995, we met in semi-finals. In 1998, we met in quarter-finals. In 2000, we met in finals. And now, because of what happened in 95, 98, and 2000, because of the record, we will win. And then he will even predict we will win 3-1. And then they win 3-1. And then for the next 1 week, he's telling everybody, my prediction was right. My prediction. 168 hours gone. Wasted into eternity without any investment. You don't know why you are here. The Holy Ghost told me, every time spent will never be returned. You can recover what was lost, but the time will never be returned. So, the quality of your being sold out is the extent of your surrender. And one of the ways to veto your surrender is your use of time. One of the ways to vet your surrender is your interaction with God vis-a-vis your family. One of the ways to vet your surrender, it is your ability to win and to tame pleasure as a sacrifice to God. Other people serve. Do make up for 30 minutes. They will spend 30 minutes in the bathroom, 30 minutes for makeup, 30 minutes to dress. And then as they are going out, the light in the room was dim, so they thought that the lapel matched the socks. But now the lapel didn't match the socks. So they have to go back and change the socks. You have to be excellent. The Bible said the garment of the priest will be for what? For glory and for beauty. I'm not against excellence. I advocate for excellence. But it will never be at the expense of God. Some people, their whole resource is spent on them. In the morning, they are in Chicken Republic. In the evening, they are in another tantalizer. Every day, they spend 30,000 on themselves. But when they give offering in church, it's 29. The day they are moved, they give 200. If the guy gives 1,000, it looks like he has thrown it away. Meanwhile, out of pride, to show his friend that he has something, he will give him 5,000. No worry. He buys something, they bring change. No, keep the change. Change is 900. He said, keep the change. But when he comes to church, his offering is 500. self. And it's because they have not defeated self, that's why they can't stay in God's presence. Because when they begin to surrender, the first battle is of self. That's why you go to pray, suddenly it looks as if 30 minutes is 3 hours. You have not won the battle of self, so you can't tarry. You stay there for 5 minutes, it's like 2 days. Meanwhile, when you run from the place of prayer, you are not going to do anything. You go and lie on the chair and carry your phone. You thought he was running from prayer to do something important. When he leave prayer, go and lie down and start watching TV. He used 2 hours to check 20 channels. He's not watching anything yet. But 10 minutes in God's presence is like climbing a mountain. He has not won self. So he can't surrender to God. And a man who is not surrendered to God is not sold out. It's good for us to understand these things so that we can vet the quality of our Christianity. You will not know what moves God. And you will think you are doing so much. It's a joke. We mean the times, because the days are evil. Said in the last day, men shall be lovers of themselves, not lovers of God. These are the reasons why men can't surrender to God. So the Holy Ghost summons them. They can't hear. You see people going for conferences to learn how to hear God. Who taught you how to hear demons? Because you are surrendered to their tendencies. So it's easy to hear them. If a demon whispers, you hear. But if God shouts with a trumpet, you can't hear. You cannot surrender. You're out of time. But you are sold out to God, you are separated. And the way to be separated is first to discern the cross. And secondly, to allow the verdict of the cross rule over you. Because separation is not in your activities, locking yourself behind closed doors. No. Separation is a detachment of your being from the world system. And when that is achieved, then the requirement of surrender is activated. And to be surrendered simply means to apply yourself unto God, to seek Him and to press after Him. To achieving this, you have to leap over many hurdles. The hurdle of self, the hurdle of time, the hurdle of pleasure, and sometimes even the hurdle of family. Then finally, to be sanctified. When I come in the evening, I will talk about sanctification. Then we will allow God to sanctify people. The way God sanctifies people is by fire. That's the only way God sanctifies. If the word of God sanctify you, it will hit you as fire. If the presence of God sanctify you, it will hit you as fire. Because fire is God's spiritual element for purging. And until we complete that quota of sanctification, there are not too many things we can do for God. And if we don't do for God, by God, and with God, our life won't amount to much. What makes your life amount to much? The degree to which the government of God finds expression by reason of your existence. If you check yourself this morning, what is happening in the world today that your life playing a role? What is bringing the will of God to expression today that your life is playing a role? Enough to say you are a Christian. What is the impact of your faith on others and on the world where you live? There were men that impacted this world so much that a whole generation was wielded to them. The Bible said, in the days of John, his impact was supreme in that generation. Some of us, our Christianity has not even enough to impact our own family. You say you are a believer, but people in your family are on their way to hell. Your Christianity have not even as much as impacted your family, let alone the society where you live in. When God separates you, when God wins you and you are surrendered to God, and God sanctifies you, He will now bless you. How does God bless men? Not by giving them money. Money is a byproduct of a blessing. Not by giving them things. When He blessed Abraham, He said, I will make of thee a great nation. Of that being that you have become becomes God's channel of reaching a generation. I will make of thee. So a point will come where a people will live by your philosophy. That dealing you went through with God that shaped you will become the shape of a generation. I was told that in Babalola's house, every 3 hours, they kept the watches of the day, all the time gates. 6 a.m., the bell goes, 1 hour prayer. 12, the bell goes, 1 hour. 3, 6, 9, 12, 6, like that, every day. It was his walk with God, but the point came, it became the ideology of a people. That's what the blessing is. And we make of thee. As they start doing that, some of them will begin to excel in business. Some of them will excel in government, governance. Some of them will excel in administration. Everything needed will come. But they will keep that civilization. Because that's the way of the spirit. Because the blessing is the supply of the spirit. That's why God will shape you so that you can host it. How much of God are you hosting? How much of God can you show to your generation? That's what it means to be sold out. A man who is sold out can reveal God to his generation. Not the things of God. He can reveal God to a generation. And when you follow that man for a while, you will begin to see God in your life. Because you become of him, of him, of him. Okay. Tell him to make you. Quietness of your heart. Quietness of your heart. You know, some of us are still at the level of separation. It's not bad where you are. It's only bad if you choose to remain there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Some of us are still at the level of separation. We are still tied to that lady. We are still tied to that guy. We are still tied to money. We are still tied to certain desires and tendencies. It's time to tell God, reveal the cross. Reveal the cross. I will accept the verdict of the cross. Reveal the cross to me. Because a separation of necessity must be orchestrated. It becomes even worse when you are becoming famous and this thing has not happened. This is why many ministries collapse. Many ministries are destroyed because the guy's affiliation to money can't end. So the devil allows him. When the system becomes big and it becomes famous, and then you now hear that he swindled money from somebody and a ministry is wrecked and it brings reproach to the people of God. Some of us, the hardest thing for us to do is prayer. If you want to find out what's the hardest thing for this man, is prayer. He can't stay there. There are too many hurdles he has jumped. If we're like that, we can't bring government. We will shout. We will be excited. But shouting and excitement does not translate to government. 3 men who are sold out to God can take a city. But 10,000 believers who are not sold out, if they like, they should be shouting. They will change nothing. It's just like two-year-old babies who are on Pampers come to the street and say, we no go agree that the government must. They'll say, well, they carry them before they die. The car will knock them down. So you carry 10,000 people on Pampers and they are coming and say, the principality over us must go down. The principality will come and throw biscuit. If it throws biscuit, all of them will rush after biscuit. He knows you are children. That's why we can't be on course for eternal things. When you see people gather, they are sharing bread. When you stop sharing bread, they will disperse. Because they can't handle kingdom. The Lord will teach you separation. Let the Lord to teach you surrender. You want to apply yourself to God. Some of us, there are too many vacuums in our soul. It was Pastor David Oyedepo that said, Oyedepo Jr., that said the reason people fall, he said, no man falls instantaneously. He said people fall because they give room to the devil. So the fall is a process. The only way you can stand is not to allow vacuum in your life. Some of us, the prayer vacuum is too large. The word vacuum is too large. The fasting vacuum is too large. The fellowship vacuum is too large. That's why we are not sold out. We are pursuing our ambition in the name of God, and we call it passion. It's a lie. When you get that job, we know whether you were passionate for God. When you get that wife, we will know. When what you desire is achieved, we will know whether you were pursuing God or you were using God to acquire things. My desire is to know you more. My desire is to love you more.
More, oh my lover, hide me in your secret place.
Do you know that the number of us in this auditorium is enough to take Africa if we are sold? We are enough to take Africa. This number is too much. The problem is that we now count. We don't count stature. So we do things to increase number. We don't do things to increase stature. If you declare 90 days vigil now, on the 20th day, you will not be up to 10. Those are the true members of the church. Those who come on a Sunday can come because they were trained to go to church on Sunday. Some come because they like you. Some come because it gives them opportunity to be refreshed. Some come because the church is close to their house. Some come because you are gifted. So when they come, their needs are met. But when you say, let's come for God and seek God, you'll be shocked. Say, let's go for evangelism for 1 week. You will know those who are surrendered. Some people, their job will hinder them. Some people, their time will hinder them. Some people, their family will hinder them. Some people, pleasure will hinder them. Because the time for evangelism is the same time for watching football. So being sold out is not a cliche. Must tell the Lord, help me to surrender. Help me. Everybody doing great things is helped. Help me. Some of us must replace a lot of things and create room for God. Because if you don't create room for God, you're unconsciously creating room for the devil. Precious Father, the way we pursue men of God, if we pursue God like that, somebody can travel for 3 weeks. They will travel for 14 hours, stay there for 3 weeks, travel back for 14 hours. Why? They went to see an apostle or a prophet. I'm not against it. I honor graces. But in the last 10 years, when was the last time you traveled for 2 weeks to see God? That's why our life is full of contradiction. We pursue men, not God. The things God's servant has taught, if you've taken it to heart and applied yourself to it, by now, your influence would have taken over your office. Sold out. But this morning, somebody has a heart cry. Because I can sense it in the spirit. You know, man of God, I realize night is it. You know, I realized the last time I came here, I was talking about the covenant of God. It now dawned on me yesterday when I went back, the same thing I was talking about last time, but I continued, which was 1 year ago. I was in a worry 2 days ago. I couldn't even preach. God was not out to give instruction. God was out to set people on fire. Because Oweri is a land of seduction. So if you like, tell them all the instructions of God, nothing will change. So God wanted to set them ablaze. But this is a land of prophets. So there is a grace of God, this land. If you only know what to do, you'll be amazed what you will become. So I'm constrained to talk the way I'm talking. Somebody's crying with a pure heart. See, I wish I can receive the revelation of the cross. Just separate myself from the world. I wish I can know how to apply myself and yield to God. Pray for you. Right where you are sitting, God will breathe upon you. I told you, everybody doing what they are doing are helped. Not powerful. They are helped. See, you have been struggling with secret sins. Not your will. You have cried. You have talked to the Lord. But you don't know how to break off. It's not you. It's sin that dwelleth in your body. But today God wants to bring empowerment to break you off. And then God wants to give you grace to yield to Him. An emotional thing. I'm sounding as boring as I ever sound. But it's the power of the world that will change you. Somebody here crying with a sincere heart. You will do this, Lord. I will serve you forever. I want to ask the Lord to breathe upon you. Please, at this time, forget about me. Just focus on Jesus. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, today that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, look upon us with mercy again this morning. From the left part of this hall to the right, from the front to the back, whoever is crying desperately, to reach out to you. Lord, I ask that you breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. So sing that song again. The Lord will breathe on people. Those few people crying with a sincere heart.
Just breathe the name upon me. Breathe.
Let's help the brother gently so we don't.
Just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
Just breathe your name.
Just breathe your name upon me. Breathe.
Lord is hearing. You are crying from your heart. Help the sister. There are things you can't tell anybody. You can't even tell your friends. But you know if these things continue, you will never amount to anything in God. So you are crying to God now. He hears. He hears the thoughts of your heart. And so right now, Holy Ghost, every chain that have held people back, I come as a witness, and I say, break! People are crying from their hearts. And it's very intense in the spirit. The Lord alights upon you now. The Lord alights upon you. Because it will not end in tears. Chains are breaking. Your life will give glory to God. Setting on fire now. Your heart is burning with so much fire. Burning with so much fire for the Lord. Right now you are repenting before the Lord. You are repenting before the Lord. You are yielding yourself to the Lord. I ask that the hand of God comes upon you and use you for His glory. That lady that God is, that is talking to the Lord now, you are the first to receive the baptism of fire. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus, I stretch my hands over you and I say, come under the fire of the Holy Ghost. There are more than two of them, there are over three of them. Come under the fire. Use you for His glory. I break the powers of seduction. The Lord use you for His glory. Your destiny will not be robbed. Your destiny will not be stolen. I come by the spirit of an endless priesthood and I separate you from the devil. The Lord use you for His glory. As the first layer of the fire, it purges and it purifies. You see, I'm seeing somebody, you are talking to the Lord. You are wishing you were younger. It's not about age, it's not about time. It's a deception of the devil. Your time is not gone, your time is now. Remember, I told you it's the ability of the spirit, not your human ability. Somebody is here crying, thinking your season is gone. It's a lie. Even right now, the hand of God comes upon you. The hand of God comes upon you. The hand of God comes upon you.
and use you for his glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, take it. Everybody that is held back by demonic forces, not just lust, not just self, but a demon is involved in your bondage. Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I arrest every spirit that has fought the battle of attrition and prevailed over you. And I say, in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, your stronghold is broken.
Blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.